Very much for being here this evening. Tonight I want to talk, and we're all going to experience something of the Bible-based trauma material that has come from Bible translation organizations around the world. And I'm going to give a few minutes of introduction to that, and then you might be noticed you're sat at tables. So that is going to involve talking to each other. I know that some of us are much more comfortable with this than others, but I hope it will be helpful for us. We're just going to sample the material tonight. I should point out at this point that the gatto and the cakes are nothing, and the sandwich is nothing to do with me. They were left over from lunch, and Anne-Marie said I can put them out. And I'm surprised that no one's eaten them yet, to be honest. And it's only my respect and, dare I say, my holy fear of Catherine Campbell that I didn't dive into the gatto right in front of me. So get stuck in, folks, because you'll be talking to each other shortly, and you might not have time to eat afterwards. So that's what we're doing. So let me start a timer, because I'm going to be awful on time here tonight if I don't. Bible-based trauma healing. In the late 1990s, people from SIL and Wycliffe Bible translators, in the middle of Democratic Republic of Congo, Central African Republic, in the middle of civil war, and they were experiencing all the awful things that happened there, and they were Bible translators, but local leaders were coming and saying, listen, can you help us? Because our people are hurting and we need your help. You've got the Bible, we need your help. And so they began to talk with mental health professionals who were in the country and began to talk about a resource that they could have. And as they looked around, they couldn't find anything that would help in this context. So in 2001, they got together and gathered and began to put this material together. In 2004, it first arrived as this book called Healing the Wounds of Trauma. This has come through a number of different editions. And very simply, what it seeks to do is take the best of Bible, what we know from the scriptures about suffering and what we pass through in life, and also what we know from mental health, what we know about what happens to people as we suffer, as we go through difficulties, as we go through trauma. It's really, really simple. And the remit was that this had to be easily translatable. It had to be easily teachable, because the vision was for this to be passed on to others, particularly church leaders around Africa, that they could then use this to teach others and help people in the midst of what they were facing. By the time that we get to, I think, about 2010, it's in 5 continents, 42 different countries, and 157 languages. It spread rapidly, and it continues to do so around the globe. We as a church, of course, have heard about this program when Nabil Omesh was here, talking about how this is used in Iraq and in Syria and all over the world where people are hurting. And there are the core lessons are 5 very basic lessons. And we begin with, if God loves us, why do we suffer? We move on how can the wounds of our hearts be healed? Then we talk about what happens when someone's grieving. And then we talk about taking your pain to Christ, taking your pain to the cross. And finally, how we can forgive others. And amidst the program, there's lots of other things to do with very specific things that we come across in different countries. This is spread all over the world. By the time we get to 2012, Wycliffe and SIL, who, as you might have picked up, are Bible translation organizations, are running all over the world, training people in this material, dealing with trauma, and the Bible translation organizations go, hang on a minute here. You're Bible translators. That's what you're really good at. That's what you're trained at. You know, this is really good what we're doing, but we're going to have to find a different home for it so we can get on with the Bible translation stuff. So American Bible Society pick it up in 2012, and the Trauma Healing Institute is founded. And from there, it begins to spread around the world. That's how I get involved in Scottish Bible Society. And now Bible societies all over the world will be running this program. If you know anyone in SIL, Wycliffe, they'll be running it all over the world in lots of different countries. And as we began to talk about this program, as I, probably 5 years now with Scottish Bible Society, started talking to people about this in Rwanda, Iraq, Syria, all over the place, Scottish church leaders kept coming to me and others and saying, listen, we might not have the problems that they have in Syria and Iraq, but let me tell you, there are problems. We have difficulties. We have wounds in our communities and in our lives. Do you think this might work in Scotland? So we got people across from Trauma Healing Institute. We gathered people around in major cities around Scotland and towns. We got church leaders together, and we said that we presented a little bit of what we're going to present tonight, effectively. And we said, do you think this type of thing would work here? And church leaders around the board said, not only do we think it will work, we desperately need it. We've got people who are going through all sorts of difficult things. And they're waiting to queue up to speak to psychologists or mental health professionals. They're waiting 6 months, they're waiting a year. Some of them are never getting there. We need something now that can help people begin to speak through the things that they have been through. And we're talking about the everyday things here. We're not just talking about the big traumas of civil war. What we're talking about is what happens when your relationships don't work in your family. What happens when jobs are difficult? What happens when you have an accident? What happens when you're ill? All these different things that come through. And so they said, we desperately need this. That was just over 2 years ago. 2 years ago in January, we had our first training course. We've now run 5 or 6 courses, over 100 people trained. And now, to date, well over 300 people have been through this and have actually experienced this material throughout Scotland. It's growing rapidly. Next week, we're starting another 4 groups. But we're not. People we've trained are starting all over the country. And the feedback we're getting is this is just so helpful. It's not rocket science. And tonight, actually, there's some willing and lovely guinea pigs who came and tried this before Christmas. Some folk in Bellevue, however, we got together and we said, what does this look like? Let's go through it together. Would this be helpful in our context? And tonight, I'd like you to be part of that process as we're here tonight. Speak to me afterward. Do we think this is useful for us as a church? Because all of us have what we would call heart wounds, things in our lives that have gone wrong, they've been difficult, many things that we haven't spoken about for years, and we're still dealing with them. Is there a way that we can, together, as we talk with one another, as we bring the scriptures into our life, find a way that the wounds of our hearts can be healed? And as Stephen has so beautifully led us, as ever, this evening, there is possibility for healing and victory in Jesus Christ. So that's my introduction, and that we always begin with a story. So I'm going to run round. Perhaps someone can help pass these out. I was very pessimistic. I said, having said I'm an optimist this morning, in terms of who might come out tonight. So I've only got a few of these, probably one or so for each table, one or two perhaps. There's a couple there maybe, and two more. And if it's possible, could I get a volunteer who'd be willing to read? These type of stories are not, you know, once upon a time and they all lived happily ever after. These are difficult stories, so tonight this might be a difficult story for some of us. Steve, is this on? I'm pressing the button, but I can't see a light. Is it on the bottom? Kathy, help me out. I'm hopeless. And would someone be willing to read the story? And what we're going to do is we're going to listen to this story and then we're going to chat about it around our tables. Oh, that's on. Super, thank you very much. Anyone willing to read? Super. Thank you very much.
It was 3 in the morning when the phone rang in Laurel and Pete's bedroom. Laurel looked sleepily at Pete as he answered it, but became more alert as he started to get out of bed as he listened to the caller. Bad fire, he said, and it's coming this way. Pete was a firefighter. Laurel was used to him being called out in the night, but somehow this seemed more serious than usual.
Oh, the battery's gone. Great. Would you like to come and this one on? Or you could use mine. This one, is this one okay?
All right. Okay. So Pete was a firefighter. Laurel was used to him being called out in the night, but somehow this seemed more serious than usual. Within 5 minutes, Pete was out of the house on his way to the fire. Laurel wondered if she should wake the children. But first she went downstairs, turned on the television and found out what was happening. Just as Laurel found a channel reporting on the fire, she heard cars driving outside with loudspeakers telling everyone to get out. It took a while to get the 3 kids awake and dressed and into the car. As they left, clouds of smoke were getting nearer and they could even see the fire in the distance. Finally, they arrived at a friend's house outside the danger zone. Laurel was relieved to be safe, but then she began to worry about Pete. There was no news for some hours, but then Laurel got a message from a nearby hospital saying she should come at once because her husband was seriously hurt. As she rushed off, Laurel wondered if she would ever see Pete alive again. At the hospital, she heard that 2 other men in his unit had been killed, and that Pete had burns on most of his body. His leg was crushed, and he had internal injuries. For 3 dreadful days, she thought he was going to die. But once they amputated his leg, he began to recover. It was a long time, though, before he could leave the hospital. When he recovered, Pete was given a job in the office of the fire department. Laurel felt that things should be returning to normal, but each week has seemed worse than the last. They both are having trouble sleeping and often have nightmares. But the worst part of it for Laurel has been Pete's personality change. Before the fire, he was generally a happy and balanced guy, but now he gets angry over little things. The children are beginning to be scared of their father because he yells at them when they make any noise. Laurel knows Pete's hurting inside because of the loss of his leg, and he won't talk about it because he thinks men should be strong. His friends just behave as though nothing has happened, but for Pete, his whole life has changed. Laurel is becoming more and more depressed. She's lost interest in eating. It's especially hard for her at church because she's angry at God for not protecting her husband. Was God not able to protect him? Did God not care? The pastor preaches that people who have strong faith in God are always H-A-P-P-Y happy. Laurel knows this is not how she feels. Finally, Laurel talks to her small group leader, Pat. As she talks, she begins to cry and can't stop sobbing. It feels like pressure inside her has been released. Pat listens to Laurel tell her what had happened. She asks Laurel to explain how she felt during the whole process, and finally they talk about what the hardest part of the experience was for Laurel. Laurel goes away feeling relieved. They've agreed to get together for coffee again the next week.
Thanks so much, Fiona, and for being willing to read that for us. At your tables, I'd like to discuss a single question. What has been lost? Now, these two tables here, apart from his leg, what else has Pete lost? So you're thinking about Pete. And these two tables here, for Laurel, what has she lost in the midst of all of this from the story? I know this is really hard when you don't have a copy of the story, so my apologies for that. Hopefully you've got good memories and great hearing. And over here, these two tables, what about the children? What have they lost in the midst of this? And we'll have about 3 minutes on this, so it's really quick, folks. So quick discussions. Okay, folks, I have to stop you there. I'm sorry, I realize it's a bit artificial because I haven't given everyone the story, so you're probably trying to remember it all, and we're just doing 3 minutes, so we'd normally have much longer. But just very quickly for feedback, for these tables, you were looking at Pete. So what sort of things has he lost? What did you come up with? Just shout a few things out. Lost his independence.
Purpose.
Lost his purpose.
Identity.
Lost his identity.
Freedom.
The freedom, good.
Self-control.
Uh-huh.
Peace.
Yep.
Joy.
Uh-huh.
Usefulness.
Yep.
Self-respect.
Uh-huh.
The opportunity to kind of meet with the guys.
Yep, okay. Yeah.
Physical ability.
Yep.
Happy personality.
Uh-huh.
Career.
Yep. Yeah, so a huge amount. Anything else you want to add? You didn't get a word in edgeways there, Neil, so it's like calling the bingo numbers there. Thanks, Neil. That was brilliant and well done, that table. Very efficient in 3 minutes. Amazing. What about Lauren? What did we say? I wasn't sure if I was going to do feedback, so that's why I didn't tell you, but I thought, you know, we probably should. But you've written them down. Any ideas? What did we think?
Most of the above.
Okay.
You know, it's because it's two-way thing, peace, joy, relationship, and family. But we also thought, particularly she's lost her leader, her relationship with her husband's been affected, her communication with him,
mm-hmm.
She's lost security,
yep.
Her envisaged lifestyle plan, or her life plan, or their life plan,
yep.
Her relationship with God has changed,
mm-hmm.
She's lost the person of Peter,
yep.
And because she's no longer married to a firefighter, she's maybe lost a bit of status in the community.
Yeah.
Plus many of the things.
There we go. Thank you. This table, anything you want to add in there? Loss of joy in the church. That's a really important one. Did you pick that one up? You come to church, you're going through something, and someone's up the front preaching H-A-P-P-Y. Ever happened to you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. That's helpful. Other ones you want to pop onto that? Great. Super. Now, what about the children? Anything? What did we think at these two tables? Okay. Thanks, Fiona. Okay, the parents have changed different. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, scared of their father. Uh-huh. Yeah. In a very difficult environment there. Thank you. Anything from this table you want to add?
His physical ability, lack of physical ability to drive, to play with them, potentially to earn for a while.
Yes.
The atmosphere was different. They might not do regular things like holidays or days out. Mum might be less emotionally available.
Yep.
And they may have lost a degree of pride in their father because he's not got
Yeah, thank you. So the point of this story as we go through it and as we begin is to say, listen, one incident, but a whole family and a whole community impacted like this. And you look initially and you say, well, he's had an accident, it's a loss of his leg. But actually, the losses have multiplied for Pete, for Lauren, and for the family. And that's what it's like when something happens in our life. It may not be anything as dramatic as this, but something happens in our life. We lose something. And suddenly all these things begin to multiply. So part of the point of doing these stories is they're often about someone far away with different names and different experience. But as we begin to hear them, one of the things that happens, we start a lesson, is they begin to resonate in our own experience. That reminds me a little bit of. And that's how this material begins to work. So we jump very quickly to the next thing, which is a huge group exercise here. This might be quite difficult, but challenging. Normally I have a board up here I'm scribbling on, but thought we'd do it here. So we've got Ed up in the gallery. All right, Ed. Who's going to type in the answers here. So the idea is, you know, physical wounds. Pete's lost his leg. We can see that. That's obvious. But we also want to talk about heart wounds. So what about these other things that happen? These wounds of our heart that happen when we go through difficult experiences. So we're going to go through this little list, and we'll see how we get on with that. So a physical wound, we start off and it's visible. So I fall off my bike on the way to work this week. I come in next week, I've got a cast on my leg. You know something's going on. What if I've got a heart wound? What if something's happened to me in a relationship or at work? Is that visible? Can we see it? Some saying no, so no, we can't see it because it's not, I've got a problem with my relationship, plastered across my head. But we can see it. Someone said over here, what ways can we see it? So Margaret's saying in the demeanor, so maybe they're a happy person and then the face, so we begin to see it, particularly if we know them well. Diane, you're saying in terms of their behavior. So maybe we're not. So how are you getting on, Ed? We're managing to type this in. it is invisible. This is a tricky one, sort of saying, yes, it's visible. And no, it isn't visible. But at the same time, but it shows in behavior, shows in the face. So maybe not obvious. It's not written across their head. They're not wearing a T-shirt with it. But it's there. Maybe we notice it. Maybe we don't. So I've fallen off my bike, and it's painful. And Karen's going around making sure I'm looked after, and I have to be treated with care, because that's what happened when men hurt themselves. So what about a heart wound, okay? Is it painful? Does it need to be treated with care? Yeah. Yeah. How often do we think about that, though? You've hurt your... Something's going on inside. It's painful. Need to be treated with care. Thanks, Ed. You're doing a great job up there. Thank you, sir. What about this? Physical wound. I fall off my bike, I break my leg, and I'm gashed all up the side, I'm missing a couple of teeth, and I can't hear very well because I landed on my ear, and Stephen doesn't have H of H anymore, so I can't go and see him. So if it's ignored, it's likely to get worse. Okay? But what about a heart wound? Something happening in our hearts? What happens if we ignore it? Does it get worse? Just fine. What do we think? Yep. So there, yeah. And you were saying, Janet, as well, that yes. Yeah, if you ignore it, it's just going to get worse. It's going to show in your behavior, as Rose says. So yeah. It's also likely to get worse. Hear about this one. I've gashed my arm when I fell off, and it's nice, and there's blood all over it. There's some grit, you know, from the sand of things, you know. I've got to clean that out and remove any foreign objects. Does that apply to a heart wound? What do we think about that? Maybe a bit trickier. Anything that needs to be cleaned out if our hearts are wounded? What do we think? Janet's nodding sagely. What do we reckon, Janet? Expand upon the nod. Yep. And what sort of things might we want to clear out from a heart wound? Can you think about what that might be? That's a trickier question. It always stumps everyone as we go through it. This one is bitterness. Guilt. Yeah. So guilt, sometimes, you know, sometimes I fall off my bike, or sometimes things happen in our lives, and it's other people's fault. Sometimes we've got a part to play in it. And one of the things that we need, the Bible tells us, to get things out, is to get the sin out, to confess. And these things, not everything that happens to us in our lives are our fault, a result of sin. And the pain needs to get out as well within that. So if a wound heals on the surface with the infection still inside, it can cause the person to become very sick. Now, medical people here will tell me that that's correct or not. What about a heart wound? Just leave it. Sorting itself out. What do we think about that? If we're talking about a heart wound. So we don't admit it, don't deal with it. It will just continue to cause a problem. It festers. Absolutely, Anne-Marie. That's really helpful, because sometimes we're sitting there thinking, no, I've sorted this, I've dealt with this, it's fine, I've just moved on. Sometimes we move on very quickly from these things, and suddenly it's there. A friend of mine always says, you can move, but your baggage will show up 3 months later. You know, if we don't deal with it, it's going to cause us problems. Only God can bring healing, but he often uses people and medication to do so. What about heart wounds? Do we think that applies there? Yeah. Do you want to expand on the yes, Kathy? You don't need to. It was a very sagely yes. You know, one of the things about trauma healing material is it picks up on the fact that one of the greatest gifts that God has given us for healing is not just himself in Christ through the Spirit, but the gift of each other. We need other people to help us heal. That's one of the great gifts of the church. We need each other. And so very often as well, we need professional help from other people as well within these things as well. Involves a bit of trust with other people. That's right. Yeah. So you've got to be careful. And we talk about this in the course, the people that we involve in our healing. So that's very true. Now, you can tell the African context here. If it's not treated, that it attracts flies. So I've got a big gash in my arms. I've got flies all over it. I'm just looking at it going, well. Well, maybe we don't attract flies, but if you've got a heart wound and you've got a wound of your heart, you've got something going on emotionally, what sort of things might that attract in our lives? Not flies, something else, other things. What do we reckon? Sin. Okay. Yeah. So if you're saying, you know, eating, drinking, all these different things that we do to try and dull the pain, fix it, move on, other things. Anything else people want to add in that one? Exploiters? Yep. That's helpful, Andrew, yeah. So often very happens that people are wounded, the people that begin to come around them, the people they begin to attract, they can become part of the problem as well and can actually make it much, much worse. So thank you for that one. Physical wound takes time to heal. I fall off my bike, I break all my limbs, and you see me next week, and I've still got the plaster and saying, come on, Armstrong, lazy boy, you know, get back on your bike. What about a heart wound? Easy fixed? Lots of no's. Takes time for a heart wound to heal. And often we don't think about that, do we? It's just something that's happening inside. It's just my emotions. You know, just press them down. Don't deal with them. You know, it's not like I've broken my leg or something. I just get on with life. It takes time for our hearts to heal. Where's the last one? A healed wound may leave a scar. What about a heart wound? You've experienced healing, and Jesus has been incredible through the Spirit, and you've had a sense of healing. Is there a scar or not? What do we reckon? Scott, you said yeah. Uh-huh. Yep, and you've got that. You bear the physical scars of what you've been through, and heart wounds as well. The things that we go through, we can experience healing, but there's still a sensitivity there. There's a scarring. We are marked by the things that we pass through. Sorry?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And that is not to underestimate what God can do in our lives. And this is sort of the point, usually, if I've got, because we normally do this over an hour and a half, it's great, tell me more about that. And actually have a discussion around it. This is what's great about this course. Because I don't sit up the front here and say, I've got all the answers. Because all of us are much smarter than one of us. And the idea is we begin to talk about these things. We actually begin to talk about, what does it actually believe about God? So I've sat there and said, leaves a scar. Mm-hmm. And Marie says, no, I don't think so, when Jesus comes. So that would be a good discussion point, which unfortunately we don't have time to chat about. But yeah.
And very often, what you've been through helps you to help somebody else go through it. So
yeah.
It does mean something.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe in rather than saying scarring, that we are changed by what we passed through.
Yeah.
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 Within that, yeah. Much like the Lord in his wonderful resurrection appearances says, see my hands. See my sight. Can't change the fact he was crucified. And actually, that's a wonderful thing. Now, we're very tight on time, so we'll do one final thing. And I'm jumping from thing to thing. This isn't a whole lesson, but just to give you samples. The idea is we're sitting, you know, looking at tables, giving a bit of feedback. Some things we're not doing today. I'm not asking you to begin to get into ones and twos, which is what happens in the course, and begin to say, right, now we begin to talk about all this other stuff. Let's talk about some of our stuff. And begin to share. And that's when we really begin to see this. And the other stuff is that sometimes talking is really helpful. And that's actually one of the main things in the course. That actually some of us, when we go through this stuff, and it was the same for me, you begin to talk about things you haven't talked about for a while. And you forgot how much they bothered you. And so talking is really helpful, really useful within that. Some of the other things we'll do is art exercises. Sometimes just spending time in scripture, doing other things, meditating. So those are the things. But one of the things, and it's the heart of it, I've said it's Bible-based trauma healing, and you're saying, Armstrong, where's the Bible so far? Scottish Bible guy. So that's what we're going to finish on. And I'm going to pass out some verses around the tables. And what I would like you to do, could the tables here look at the first two verses on this? Thanks, Pete. And I'll give you these ones as well. And there were six verses on this. So if these two tables could look at the first two verses, these two tables could look at the next two verses. So the third and fourth verses would be this one and this one. And if these two tables, if you could begin with the Jonah one, so Jonah and David. And you'll have about 3-4 minutes to do this. So it's very, very quick. Now the question is, what does this verse teach us from the Bible about how to handle our emotions? What does this teach us about handling our emotions? Is this 3 or 4 minutes on this? Okay, folks, sorry, I have to stop us there. Maybe just go around very quickly, and I'm going to pick one of the verses that you had, and you can give me one line or two lines on that, if that's not too hard on you. So this group, Matthew 26, do you want to say something about that? What is it teaching us about handling our emotions? Or is that the one that you didn't get to? Company is important. So rather than being on your own, so Jesus in the garden, the importance of company. And is Jesus holding his emotions back here? Yeah. So Jesus expressing his emotions. So if we're looking for a biblical authority that it's okay to deal with our emotions, Jesus is pretty good authority to go to. So thank you. This table, Peter, was one of your verses? What did you make of that? Peter going out and weeping bitterly. Is that the right one I gave you? Was it? Yeah, and that becomes an important part of Peter's story, isn't it? They've got that weeping, and he records that, just allowing that emotion to come out. Thanks, Rose. If I could move on to this table and the Old Testament scholars at the back, could you give us Hannah? Is that possible? What do we make of that? Yeah. Brilliant, this is succinct, thank you. So bringing your emotions to God, is that something that we do? Or do we just press them down? So thank you. So Jesus in John 11, was that one of your passages? Yep. What did you make of that? Empathy.
Jesus wept.
Okay. Shortest verse in the Bible, as people keep telling us, but Jesus himself weeps. Thank you. Do you want a choice? Would you like Jonah or would you like David? What do you reckon?
Jonah,
there we go. Sorry, table. There we go. Jonah. Okay, Vicky, do you want to do Jonah for us?
It's about how he was honest with God. He didn't try to sugarcoat things, even though it revealed the very ugly side of his thoughts and emotions.
Yeah. That's a really helpful one. Some really ugly things in Jonah. But he still lets them out and brings it before God. And we see that in Lament Psalms. That's not a part of the course that we look at. There's some stuff we just need to get out. Bringing that to God is really helpful. But he expresses them. And the Bible records that, people doing that. So thanks, Ricky. And so that leaves David in Psalm 55. I'm sorry. That's helpful, that sort of whole wrestling, and you're in the midst of it, and being quite complex. Our emotions hijack us. They're not easy things. We just can't just put them in a box. But they're there. And it's really important that we deal with them, because our emotions are so often the expression of these heart wounds that we have. And Scripture is so good, particularly in the Psalms, of helping us to have words when we don't have words. Folks, you've been very patient. I've gone 5 minutes over my time, Stephen, there. But I hope that gives you a helpful sample of the type of material. This isn't someone up the front giving you all the answers. This is about a discussion. It's about being face-to-face. And it's about beginning to explore the things in our lives which are hard. Some of them are maybe happening just now. Maybe some of them happened a long, long time ago and you've never really begun to talk about it. Maybe you thought you dealt with it, but you hadn't. And this is an amazing resource. And what's great is that we get to heal together as church. Mum was right. Got to be careful. The people that you pick and sit with. But one of the things that happens when you put these groups together is you talk about confidentiality, you talk about trust, and you talk about the importance of earning that and expressing that. And there's also in the course the realization you don't have to share anything you don't want to. So there's no big pressure. I'm not going to sit there. Come on, you haven't spilled your heart yet. Come on, give us something from your life. It's about as much as we're able to do. But as we do that, and as we bring scripture alongside, and as we begin to think about these things, then through this course, which is so simple, I can teach it, so it must be. God brings healing to the broken places of our lives. So thanks for being here tonight. I hope it's been helpful. Please let me know if you think this will be helpful for us as a church, if you have any questions. And Anne-Marie and I are definitely going to have a conversation afterwards. No, that wasn't a bad thing. I thought it was good. No, but what I'm saying is, you know, I should have just sat down. Poor Anne-Marie just a bit jumped in. You know, the good thing about this course is you do get to discuss. People have got questions. So if you've got questions, things you didn't agree with, you know, come chat about it. Delighted to do that. Stay around. Stephen.